former lawmaker claims presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio has already decided to run for president next year. Meanwhile, another top presidential prospect, Manila Mayor Isfol Moreno, still undecided on what post he will seek in the 2022 polls. Davao City to be placed under the second strictest lockdown due to rising COVID-19 cases. And we'll tackle how making peace with nature can prevent the next pandemic with United Nations Goodwill Ambassador Anthony Toms. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining. Those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. The president's daughter, Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio, has already made up her mind to run for president next year. Former Camarines Sur Representative Rolando Andaya Jr. claims Duterte Carpio made the decision 2 weeks ago and has the blessings of her father.
That is very definite. Her running, that's not even the issue now. That's not even the issue. We went there to firm up the tandem of the two. That's not whether she's running or not. That is a foregone conclusion. That's a done deal 2 weeks ago. I know, but let her give her the space, give her the time to announce it in public. I know it. I have first-hand information. I'm with them, that she is very much, or she is interested in running. The father, the proud father, will always support his daughter. For he, if there's a person who knows the capability of Sara, it's the father.
Meanwhile, the Makabayan Bloc in Congress objects to the possibility of a father and daughter running for the highest national post. This after the ruling party PDP Laban urged President Duterte to seek the vice presidency.
Sa 2022 elections, hindi tayo papayag na mailuklok ang mag-amang Duterte na magpapanatili ng baluktot, pasista at anti-mamamayang pamamalakad na nagdulot ng matinding kahirapan sa gitna ng pandemya.
A proof of how rotten the Philippine political system has become. That's how progressive group leader Renato Reyes Jr. describes the possible tandem of President Rodrigo Duterte and his daughter Sara in next year's polls. Reyes says allowing Duterte to run as vice president with his daughter as president would only lead to a de facto second term. He adds the Philippines is not an exclusive playground of one political family and that the Filipino people deserve better. Reyes now calls on the Filipino people to reject a Duterte dynasty. Manila City Mayor Isfol Moreno is still undecided on what position to seek in the 2022 national elections, but he is certain that he will run. He also says he does not want to side with either the administration or the opposition, who both see him as a potential candidate for president.
Well, ganito. Busy ako sa pagka-mayor. May obligasyon ako sa mga taga-Maynila. I would rather focus on that until the last day na magdi-decision ako. And I'm going to be fair with our people. I'm going to be honest with our people at magpapaalam ako sa kanila. Kung ano man yon, that is remain to be seen. No? But definitely, I am running.
Malacanang spokesperson Harry Roque revealed Thursday that President Duterte sees Mayor Moreno as a potential successor, along with his daughter, Sara Duterte Carpio, longtime aide Senator Bongo, former Senator Ferdinand Marcos Jr., and Senator Manny Pacquiao. Moreno is also one of the top picks for either president or vice president in voter preference surveys. Davao City is set to be placed under the second strictest lockdown amid a surge in COVID-19 cases there. The modified enhanced community quarantine in Davao City will take effect tomorrow until June 20th. The local government of Davao City itself asked the interagency task force to tighten quarantine restrictions. Meanwhile, General Santos City will be placed under general community quarantine this Saturday until the end of the month. The Philippine government now allowing inbound travel for individuals who were fully vaccinated in the Philippines. The interagency task force says they must present a vaccination card upon arrival. They will be quarantined for 7 days at an isolation facility. PCR tests will only be required if they have symptoms during quarantine.
In the Tasana ITF and Department of Health, Department of Finance, Department of Trade and Industry, Department of Foreign Affairs at National Economic and Development Authority na magpulong at magbigay ng mga rekomendasyon para lalo pang ma-relax ang testing at quarantine protocols para sa ibang travelers.
The Philippines reports 7,217 new COVID-19 cases Thursday. Total cases in the country are now at 1.2 million. Of that number, 55,790 are active. The health department says there was a nationwide increase in average daily infections over the last 7 days. 199 new deaths were also recorded. The World Health Organization backs the Philippine government's move to keep its face shield mandate. WHO's representative to the Philippines, Dr. Rabindra Abiyasinghe, says face shields provide extra protection against COVID-19. Manila Mayor Isko Moreno appealed for the lifting of the policy. He says face shields have become unnecessary.
I believe it's still too early to relax those because I think we just crossed the 3% population protection with vaccines. We still have a long way to go before we start reducing the measures that have helped us to hold back the infections, especially with the circulation of these new variants of concern.
The Philippine Health Department also again stressing the importance of wearing face shields in public areas.
Now that we have the variants at saka yung mga tumataas na kaso, sa tingin po namin, kailangan pa rin natin ipagpatuloy ito.
For the chairman of the Metro Manila Council, the policy on face shields is up to health experts and not mayors. Parañaque Mayor Edwin Olivares adds it's not yet time to relax and the public should continue following health protocols.
Yung mga Metro Manila, hindi po kami expert. Hindi po kami expert sa pagdating po dyan. So lagi po kami nag-iingin na recommendation sa ating mga health experts. Tama po yan na kapag po face shield lang, hindi ang ating protectivity mahina. Pero kung may face mask at face shield, tapos may social distancing po, 90% po yung ating protection.
Infectious disease specialist Dr. Ronjean Solante insists face shields should be retained as an extra layer of protection.
I cannot imagine na tayo tanggalin yung face shield tapos face mask na lang and then mababa pa ang vaccination rate. And alam natin, no, kung face mask na lang yan, wala ka ng face shield, mas lalo tayong highly vulnerable kasi alam natin, pagsuot pa lang ng face mask, hindi nga tama, tapos tanggalin mo pa yung face shield.
The Philippines will be among the first to receive some of the approximately 7 million COVID-19 jabs that the United States will be sending to Asia. This is part of the first 25 million jabs Washington will share with the world. The U.S. Embassy in Manila says the vaccines are expected to arrive in the Philippines very soon. Other places experiencing surges in COVID-19 infections, such as India and Nepal, will receive jabs as well. Washington will share the rest of its 80 million extra doses with the COVAX facility. In a bid to help boost vaccine confidence, several restaurants and gas stations here in the Philippines are giving away freebies and discounts to vaccinated Filipinos. Let's hear more from Alvin El Chico.
Restaurants and fast food chains have started implementing a discount program for all vaccinated Filipinos to encourage more people to take the vaccine and dine out. Some customers were surprised getting a 10% discount on their food order.
Sa panahon naman po ngayon, hindi naman po ganun kadaling kumita ng pera. So, okay lang po yung ganun discount. Malaking bagay na rin po yung 9 pesos.
Mas okay po yung para sa safety na rin po ng lahat.
Fast food chains say the discount program only applies to dine-in customers. This restaurant is giving out free beer to vaccinated customers. Overall, Resto.ph says there are over 1,000 stores nationwide that have started a discount and freebies program to encourage vaccination. But the group still appeals to government to allow vaccinated senior citizens to dine out.
When we are trying to promote safety of the vaccine, telling people to trust the vaccine, and yet we don't trust the vaccinated to go out, I think there's conflict and contradiction in the messaging.
Presidential Advisor Joey Concepcion, meanwhile, pushes to make the vaccine cards digital.
This will have to eventually migrate into one national vaccine card, which can state also the LGU, pero it has to have one look. The vaccine cards have to be digitalized.
Some gasoline stations have started to join the discount program, slashing 3 pesos per liter for gasoline and 2 pesos for diesel for motorists who have been vaccinated. They say this program can help convince others to get jabbed.
Malaking tulong po sa amin, kahit ba 3 piso po siya, di mapapadagdag na po sa gasolina namin.
Ay, dapat lang matuwa. Sino ba naman hindi matutuwa kung magbibigyan ka ng discount? Eh, laking ginhawa sa bulsa.
This gasoline station will also do a similar discount for vaccines starting June 7 until the end of the month. Alvin Olchico, ABS-CBN News.
India, home to the world's largest vaccine manufacturer, now facing a severe shortage in COVID jabs for its own population. Amid criticisms over its bungled rollout, the Indian government has signed a deal for a coronavirus vaccine, which has yet to finish phase 3 trials. We have more in this report.
India has ordered its first batch of an unapproved COVID-19 vaccine, just a day after criticism from the Supreme Court over its bungled vaccine rollout. The government is buying 300 million vaccine doses from an Indian company called Biological E, putting down an advance of $205.6 million. The shot is still going through phase 3 clinical trials. The health ministry says the deal with Biological E is part of a wider effort to encourage local manufacturers in research and development. Millions of people have been left vulnerable in India's devastating second wave of the virus. Almost 338,000 people have died, and only 4.7% of the adult population of 950 million have been given 2 vaccine doses. India is already inoculating its people with AstraZeneca and Covaxin shots, and it's set to commercially launch Russia's Sputnik V later this month. But supplies are running low after the government opened vaccines to all adults last month. Some vaccination centres have had to close down, prompting Supreme Court criticism over a lack of planning. The government said this week it could have as many as 10 million doses each day in July and August, up from just under 3 million now.
In other news, the Philippines and Japan eyeing deeper defensive cooperation amid the security issues in the region. Manila's defense chief, Delfin Lorenzana, met his Japanese counterpart online. Included in that discussion, China's aggression in the West Philippine Sea, which both sides see as a cause of grave concern. They also agreed that the principles of freedom of navigation should be maintained in the area. Sri Lanka bracing for a massive oil spill after a cargo ship laden with chemicals sank off its western coast. More in this report.
Sri Lanka on Thursday readied for the possibility of an oil spill. It's after a cargo ship laden with chemicals sank off its western coast. The Singapore-registered MV Express Pearl was carrying nitric acid as well as other chemicals and cosmetics. It was anchored off a port city when a fire erupted on board on May the 20th. The craft began to sink early on Wednesday. The ship's operators said in a statement on Thursday there were still no signs of a fuel oil spill and that much of the toxic cargo had been incinerated in the fire. But photos from the country's coast guard showed a layer of green film blanketing the ocean surrounding the vessel. Millions of plastic pellets have also reached surrounding beaches and fishing grounds, prompting the government to ban fishing along a 50-mile stretch. The government says it will seek redress for the incident, while Singapore authorities have started their own investigation.
Right, June 5th, that's tomorrow. It's World Environment Day. And during this time of the pandemic, it's hard to think about saving the environment when the most urgent call now is to save lives. But the United Nations believes making peace with nature now, while in the middle of this COVID crisis, can actually help in preventing the next pandemic. Joining us now is Antoinette Toss. She is National Goodwill Ambassador of the United Nations Environment Program. Antoinette, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy World Environment Day, or happy Advanced World Environment Day. But we always say that every day should be World Environment Day, and we should really be thinking of people and the planet always in everything we do.
Exactly. We're going to talk more about that in a bit. But first, you know, when you talk about the environment, it was in pretty bad shape before the pandemic hit. In the early months of the COVID crisis, we saw it have a bit of a respite. But now that we're a year into it, how would you describe the current state of the environment, Antoinette?
This is actually something that was discussed a lot last year, the recovery or the seeming recovery of the environment. Wildlife was showing up in places that we normally don't see them anymore, but where they truly actually belong. We saw the skies clear, the air quality was better in many places, but of course this is something that was temporary. And this is something that we say it could be a better world, but it's something that actually is not happening, because as soon as the lockdowns halted and as soon as things went back to the old normal, I would say, and it's a better normal that we're striving for. Of course, the pollution started again, the emissions started again, and our behavior has seemed to even gotten worse because of all the medical waste and all the pollution, I would say, from our consumption, from deliveries, and of course, from a lot of purchases that are actually being shipped across the world right now. And this is why we say that what we do matters so much, and these next 10 years are incredibly important. It's actually called the UN Decade of Ecosystem Restoration. And that is actually the theme for World Environment Day 2021. It is to reimagine, I think it's right here, reimagine, recreate, and to restore. And a decade may seem like a long time, but it's these next 10 years that truly matter. Dr. Sylvia Earle has said that a lot, that what we do in the next 10 years will matter for the next 10,000. And we need to listen to the scientists, because they are here to help us all. And more than anything, as we see the planet deteriorating, it's the people of the world, especially those that already have it the hardest, that are being hit the most and hit the hardest by the climate emergency.
Let me just cut you there. You talk about climate emergency. There is a lot. There's not just one. There are a lot of environment emergencies that we're facing right now. So when we talk about the Philippine context, Antoinette, what do you think is the emergency that's threatening us the most when you talk about the various environment emergencies that the world faces as we speak?
I feel right now most countries in the world have the same threats that they face. Forests are being cleared, rivers and lakes polluted, wetlands and peatlands being drained, coasts and oceans being degraded, of course, once again, to different reasons. And, of course, mountains eroded, farmlands and grasslands overexploited. All these things are interconnected. And as we think of issues, whether it's cutting down carbon emissions and switching to renewable energy instead of fossil fuels, that is something the Philippines really, truly needs right now. The House Bill for Single-Use Plastics actually just passed its second reading this week. So we are very, very hopeful for this as we move forward into a circular economy for the Philippines, because it is possible as well. And not just that, the people of the Philippines take action for each other, and not just for each other, because we know that our emissions here do not count as much as the bigger emitters of the world, but we are the ones that are actually the most affected. The Philippines is actually known in the world as the second top country when it comes to threats due to environmental disasters and extreme weather, and fourth when it comes to deaths due to extreme weather. So when we think of those numbers, this is about saving lives. Saving the planet is about saving our people.
A while ago, I mentioned that making peace with nature can actually prevent the next pandemic from happening. Help us make sense of that. How can making peace with nature actually pave the way for preventing the next pandemic.
Now, as we speak of pandemics, one of the things that's actually talked about but also not widespread is the fact that it is actually a zoonotic disease, COVID-19, which means it's transmitted between animals into people. So this is something that is also an effect of our behavior with the environment, how we encroach on wildlife spaces and natural habitats where people should not be and places that should be left alone. And in the Philippines itself, when it comes to COVID-19, the UN aligns its vision and programming for development for the Philippines National Development Plan with the Ambition Natin 2040. And as the country has adopted the We Recover as One roadmap for recovery from COVID-19, the UN moved in lockstep with the government and refocused its programming priorities to align its work more closely with this roadmap. Now, part of this is also is us doing our part in waste management in order to actually help prevent secondary infections, secondary transmissions. It is vital that used masks, use gloves, or anything that potentially could be contaminated are boxed up properly, separated, and labeled so that it doesn't end up in our ocean, it doesn't end up in our seas. And of course, our waste workers are also not exposed to it.
All right. So when you talk about, you talked about the pileup of medical waste just now. We continue to save lives 24/7, but the waste continues to pile up as well. What are the concrete steps for us to be able to address this?
For me, I'm actually not an expert, but what I always try to do and what we try to tell everyone to do is listen to the experts. So let's listen to what the United Nations says. Let's listen to what the World Health Organization says. The United Nations Environment Program always has reports that they also release about all these different factors. And some of the things that they really say is, first of all, in a medical emergency and what we are going through right now, of course, health and safety comes first, especially for medical professionals and frontliners. But for everyday citizens that are not heavily exposed, we're not on the front lines as we go about our normal day, reusable masks are appropriate. And this is something that seems so simple, like one simple tiny change, but it means so much for the world, especially now when we think of the amount of medical waste that's being produced, not just in the Philippines, but across the world. So even those little changes of really just being diligent about those reusable masks, and a lot of people like to buy these reusable masks from local communities that make them as projects as well. And so a lot of these times you're also able to help support communities. So that brings another aspect into loving local. So loving local is not just more sustainable because you bought it locally, it's less shipping and handling, but you're also helping the people and the communities that produced it and that made it.
I'm looking at the sign behind you, reimagine, recreate, restore. I'm going to talk about reimagining the message to the people to care for the environment. I mean, you and I, we've been taught since we were in grade school about how important it is to care for the environment. And yet we find ourselves in the situation that we're in now. Clearly, a lot has to be done still. So what do you think is the challenge right there? How do we really get to connect with people, more people, so that caring for the environment becomes second nature, and it's not something that they're forced to do or they were taught in school, but it's really something that's organic in them already?
Wow, this is actually something that I also realized along this journey. Sustainability wasn't something that I had been raised to understand, really. I only learned it in the last few years, and I didn't grow up an environmentalist either. I really always considered myself just a normal human being doing the same things as everybody else. But when we talk about what it takes to save our future, and I don't just mean the future generations, but our future, first of all, we need to emphasize the fact that it needs immediate action, bold action from governments and global businesses. They have so much power in pushing us forward, but it also won't move forward without all of us. But we see so much hope because it's actually the people now asking for the solutions and asking for the pathways forward. So really, it's also up to us at the same time. And the small actions we make are so powerful. Even what we do with our nonprofit, when we started giving out food, it was actually food in the form of excess products so that it wouldn't be thrown away or go to waste. And then that really puts to mind those things that were said to us as children, where finish the food on your plate, because there are a lot of children around the world that need this food as well, this precious food. And it really reminded me of those moments, and even about pollution, how they say the trash that you throw out there will come back to you. That's actually a famous Filipino phrase. And yung basurang tinapon mo babalik sa'yo. And now that I'm growing up and seeing this in this world, growing up, I'm actually turning 40 this year, but now that I've grown into this world and seeing what's happening all around us, I do remember a time where there wasn't trash everywhere. And we saw that transition, and if I witnessed that when I was a child, that means we were like that before. We were that kind of society. And I feel that maybe consumerism and convenience, the seemingly conveniences that have been presented, made us think that this was the right path, but really, we had it right before. And even when we look at indigenous knowledge, they actually are the leaders in sustainability and nature-based solutions.
Correct. Yeah. You know, when you think about it, most people have thought that this is something that the future will take care of, that this is something that's going to happen in the future, but not a lot of people know that the future that they're talking about, it's actually happening now.
Yes, it is. We really only have a little bit of time left. When we talk about the warming of the planet, what the scientists are telling us, it can get a little confusing to think about what does it mean to go beyond 1.5 degrees or 2 degrees. But basically, to put it simply, it seems like a small amount of a change in the temperature of the planet. But in just a decade, we could already see parts of the world that are unlivable, where food cannot grow, where animals cannot thrive anymore and will just disappear from the face of the earth. Right now, we are already at risk of 1 million species going extinct. And this is incredibly, incredibly painful for the biodiversity of our planet. And the actions that are happening, the actions that we do, actually count for everything that is happening all around us. We should never underestimate the power that we have as individuals. And I feel like even the change that everybody is clamoring for from governments across the world and also from businesses that also want to transition, your voices are powerful. Our voices are powerful. Social media is also powerful when used for good. So let's try to see if we can amplify these voices, the voices that are telling us the truths about what is happening to the planet, and also the voices that are inspiring us into action so that we can help more people and we can help each other. And another question people ask is, how do I begin? Where do I start? And for me personally, where it really began is the same, I think it can be for everyone. It was with my own space, which is my family and my friends. We just got together one night to put lunch bags together and gave it away as we followed a group in the U.S. that was doing all it called #lunchbag. And these things progress and cascade and ripple. There are ripple effects across the world. So never underestimate the power that you have to make a difference. And it begins wherever you are.
And it begins with you. Happy World Environment Day tomorrow, but as he's every day should be World Environment Day. Antoinette Toss there, United Nations Environment Program Goodwill Ambassador. Thank you so much for joining us today. You take care. Keep safe.
Thank you so much.
All right, we are going to go into a break now. Coming up, Philippine inflation meets the FAN. The U.S. bans Americans from investing in more Chinese companies. Stay with us. You're on Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. A former lawmaker claims presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio has already decided to run for president next year. Meanwhile, another top presidential prospect, Manila Mayor Isko Moreno, still undecided on what post he will seek in the 2022 polls. And Davao City to be placed under the second strictest lockdown due to rising COVID-19 cases. Back with more news, the center of Tropical Storm Dante is forecast to re-enter the Philippine area of responsibility later today. Pagasa weather forecaster Raymond Ordinario now joins us on the line with the latest. Raymond, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmen. This is our information regarding Tropical Storm Dante. It's still outside the Philippine area of responsibility, and as of 10 a.m., it is around 315 kilometers west-northwest of Calayan, Cagayan, or around 340 kilometers west of Basco, Batanes. It also have a maximum sustained winds of 65 kilometers per hour near the center and gustiness that may reach up to 80 kilometers per hour. It is now moving on a north-northeast direction at a speed of 10 kilometers per hour. As you had said, it is expected to re-enter the Philippine area of responsibility this afternoon until evening, and it will head towards the Taiwan area and expected to re-exit our Philippine area of responsibility by tomorrow evening. Tropical Storm Dante is now bringing cloudy skies with scattered rain showers and thunderstorms over the Ilocos region, Zambales, and Bataan. Meanwhile, in Metro Manila and the rest of the country, we're going to expect a generally fair weather condition aside from some isolated rain showers or thunderstorms. And right now, we have a gale warning raised over the seabirds of Batanes, the northern coast of Cagayan, including Mabuyan Island and Ilocos Norte. We are now reminding our fisher folks and those who have small sea crabs not to venture out of those seabirds because we're expecting some high wave due to the presence of Tropical Storm Dante. Here in Metro Manila, the temperature will range from 26 to 32 degrees Celsius, and in Baguio City, around 17 to 24 degrees Celsius. And that's the latest from the PAGASA Weather Forecasting Center, Raymond Ordinario reporting.
Thanks a lot, Raymond. To you and the rest of the team there, take care and keep safe. In business, Philippine inflation remained steady in May, reflecting the stable prices of basic commodities. The consumer price index stood at 4.5%, the fifth straight month that inflation breached the upper end of government's target of 2 to 4% for 2021. Food and non-alcoholic beverages contributed the most to inflation at 39.5%. The Philippine Central Bank believes inflation will start to decelerate by the second half of the year, given the timely arrival of pork imports. This is echoed by ING Bank senior economist Nicolas Mapa.
Do you remember a similar episode that we had in 2018, which is also the most recent time we had a breach? It was caused by a shortage in rice. And when we started to import rice, we saw how quickly inflation started to come off. Really decelerate. Maybe in the next month or 2 months from now, we can start to see pork prices finally coming down.
The Philippines' pork meat supply was earlier hit by the African swine fever, drastically reducing the domestic hog population. A proposal to reduce tariffs for imported meat was approved by the president to augment supply and bring down pork prices. The United Nations Food Agency says world food prices rose in May at their fastest rate in more than a decade. The Food and Agriculture Organization's Food Price Index, which measures prices of cereals, dairy products, meat, and sugar, averaged 127.1 points last month. That's up from 121.3 points in April. It's the 12th straight month of increase and the highest since September 2011. The UN warns the continued rise in prices risks accelerating broader inflation. This in turn would complicate the efforts of central banks to provide more stimulus amid the pandemic. U.S. President Joe Biden has expanded a list of Chinese companies banned from doing business in the country. The new order covers 59 firms which the U.S. sees as linked to China's military or engaged in selling surveillance technology used to repress dissent or religious minorities. Most of the companies are subsidiaries and affiliates of major China-owned firms and other businesses named on a previous blacklist. These include businesses tied to the Aviation Industry Corporation of China and Huawei. The new order prevents Americans from investing in the blacklisted firms with a 60-day grace period until August 2nd before sanctions begin. The move is seen as a continuation of some hardline China policies of Biden's predecessor, Donald Trump. While the COVID-19 pandemic has its downsides for the banking sector, it also pushed lenders to innovate and ramp up their digital services, making them more accessible. ANC Salve Duplido speaks with Metro Bank's Chief Marketing Officer Diggs Dimagiba on how the bank is adding in financial literacy into its digital transformation.
Welcome to On the Money. Now, the pandemic has hastened Philippine banks' evolution in the digital and online sphere, where even smaller banks are hastening such complete transformation. The entry of other digital financial services like payments platforms at a time when people are unable to access ATMs and go to bank branches physically have created an added push. Today, we have with us Diggs Dimagiba, Chief Marketing Officer of Metrobank, to talk about how Metrobank is differentiating itself from the whole industry in this very difficult time. Hi, Diggs.
Hello, Salve, and hello to everybody who's joining us today. Thank you for bringing us here. I just wanted to say that for Metrobank, it's not really about differentiating for us, but it stems from a sincere desire to really be the good hands that deliver meaningful banking, particularly during a period of crisis. When we talk about meaningful banking for Metrobank, it's really about delivering service and compassion to customers and to the community at large in the Philippines, because our fundamental value is really about malasakit. And during this pandemic, since it started, we tried to do three things, you know, in order to help people. These three things are in the areas of safety, education, and on convenience. On safety, of course, life goes on, and we are a critical industry. We've continued, and I think we have one of the biggest network of branches that still continued to operate, and we protected our people and our customers by putting a lot of safety measures inside our branches so that if people really needed to come to the branch, they would feel safe and comfortable doing so, and everybody would be able to transact well. However, we do realize that the best way to keep safe is for people to stay home and transact digitally. And as a result, we beef up our digital platforms and our services to make sure that 24/7, wherever people are, they can have access to their money and they can be able to do all of their banking transactions online using our Metrobank digital platforms. In fact, the industry, the banking industry itself, which grew its InstaPay transactions, this is how people are able to send money to other people in other accounts in other banks. It grew 372% in the first quarter of 2021 versus 2020 same period. But for Metrobank, we grew at about 582%, you know, in terms of InstaPay transactions. So more people are actually using Metrobank and our digital platforms to send money to other people in bank. In terms of the people enrolling and using our digital platforms, it grew by 138% inside the first quarter. And the number of transactions, the total value, doubled, almost doubled in the same quarter itself. So overall, I believe that the combination of keeping people safe, educating people, we've focused on giving a lot of education to everybody from lolos and lolas to our beginner investors, to people just starting out. And then, of course, allowing people to have that access conveniently is really what's delivering meaningful banking from the good hands of Metrobank.
Our ability as a society to move to digital is actually a life-saving activity because you're now keeping them away from danger, no? I know that you have an Earnest digital account. What is this about?
Earnest is actually a financial education and investing platform, you know, especially in this time in the pandemic when having something set aside comes to the fore because it's a crisis, right? The bank launched Earnest as a financial education and investing platform designed with beginner investors in mind. We wanted to make sure that, you know, people really understood what it is to invest, demystify it, and allow people to have a fully digital experience that allows them to both learn and take the first step into investing. So in fact, it's available as a website on earnest.ph and also as an app, you know, Earnest Invest in the Play and App Stores. So inside the app, people can actually sign up to a fully digital earnest digital account, which is underwritten by Metro Bank without going into the branch. And if you know, they only need to present inside that digital app one valid government ID and perform all the validation that's there. And in 1 to 2 banking days, they'll get their earnest digital account, and it comes with a debit card that they can, you know, get later on. But upon opening, it's fully usable, and they can use it for all of their banking needs and start investing.
Now, BSP Governor Ben Jokno has pointed out that the COVID-19 pandemic triggered a massive shift to digital payments, with over 4 million new digital accounts opened since then. And he wants digital transactions to reach 50% in the next 3 years. But this also means that there, as technology progresses, there will be more scams. Can you share with us tips on how to be safe online and how this scam-proof initiative of Metrobank can help those who are looking for safer ways to bank in the age of digital?
So I want to say that it's not just Metrobank that actually launched the scam-proof initiative. This is actually an industry initiative. So Metrobank, together with Yes Bank, other banks and companies, even the big associations like the of course, the BSP itself, the BAP, IMAP, the Chamber of Thrift Banks, BMAP, the Credit Card Association of the Philippines, and our other fellow banks, we all came together to launch a platform that aims to educate Filipinos about the dangers of financial fraud and how to prevent it with real life examples of scams that are happening so that people can be aware. Because the most important thing that you can do to avoid the scams, to be aware of what's happening and don't fall prey to it, because scammers are so sophisticated, they can duplicate any website or any app. And if you're not paying attention and they tap the basic human emotions of either fear or greed, promo or something like that, you can fall prey. Never ever disclose any of your personal or bank information to anybody. Don't just click on any links. Never ever give your OTP or one-time password to anybody, and examine closely any email, text, or even website or apps that you're opening in order for you to clear. And of course, go to the scamproof.ph website and update yourself with all of the new scams and how to protect yourself against scam in this new digital world that we're in.
That's really putting meaning into banking, right?
That's right.
So any final words for our viewers?
As final words, I'd like to say that, you know, Metrobank, as I said, we stand true to our commitment to deliver meaningful banking from your good hands. We're going to make sure that we serve the needs of all the community that you're also a part of, and we'll continue to grow as an enterprise, you know, that cares for people, that has malasakit for all of our customers and our employees. And at the same time, we will participate towards helping our nation recover against this pandemic, as we all do our share and we pray towards the end of this COVID-19 challenge. We've been here for 58 years. This year, we're celebrating our 59th year, and we're going to keep on championing meaningful banking for more decades.
Malapit na kayo mag-senior citizen. And it has been a life well lived, I'm sure, and many, many more years to come. Thank you so much, Dix. This has been a great interview. Thank you so much. Guys, this is Salvi Duplito for On The Money.
And world news now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fights back against his political opponents who have formed a cross-partisan coalition aimed at unseating him. This report gives us a look at the figures behind the unlikely alliance that could soon end Netanyahu's 12-year grip on power.
Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's longest-serving prime minister, is on the verge of being toppled from power after more than a decade in office. From ultranationalists to Arab-Israeli Islamists, the right-winger is set to be ousted by an extremely fragile and unlikely alliance of parties from across the political spectrum who have little in common other than their desire to break a political deadlock that saw 4 elections in 2 years. The coalition all hinges on an unlikely figure, Mansour Abbas, head of the United Arab List. The inclusion of his tiny Islamist faction was crucial in securing a paper-thin majority for the coalition which would be the first in Israel's history to represent its 21% Arab minority. A dentist by profession, Abbas said he has put differences aside for a chance to improve conditions for Arab citizens who report discrimination and government neglect. His inclusion stands in stark contrast to the head of the New Guard, Naftali Bennett, leader of the ultra-nationalist party Yamina, or Rightwards.
So we'll get once and for all a government who actually cares for the people.
Bennett is a former leader of a major Jewish settlement organization and an advocate of annexing most of the occupied West Bank. His religious pro-settler party won only 7 of the Knesset's 120 seats in the March election. But Bennett emerged first as kingmaker, then king slayer, and now king. Under the deal, the former defense minister and high-tech millionaire would become prime minister, before handing over the post in 2 years to centrist Yair Lapid. Lapid is a former TV host and finance minister who heads up Yesh Atid.
Shalom lachem.
The center-left party came second in the latest election with 17 seats. Sources say the hopeful government would initially avoid hot-button ideological issues. Parliamentary approval is still pending, and analysts say Netanyahu will try and pick off, quote, low-hanging fruit, trying to convince right-wingers to jump ship, who are unhappy about teaming up with Arab and leftist lawmakers.
In sports, around 10,000 volunteers for the Tokyo Olympics resigned due to COVID-19 concerns. Organizers, however, insist the Games will push through. This report.
The head of Japan's Olympic Committee on Thursday ruled out canceling the Summer Games in Tokyo amid swirling doubts from medical and sports officials. Seiko Hashimoto confirmed in an interview published by Nikkan Sports that Tokyo 2020 will go on as planned. She said, quote, "We cannot postpone again." Although there will be restrictions in place, athletes can expect to be regularly tested and foreign spectators are barred from attending the events. It's yet to be decided if Japanese fans will be allowed into venues. Public opinion polls in Japan have consistently shown that a majority want the games canceled or postponed for a second time. Japan is battling a fourth wave of infections just 2 months from the scheduled start of the games. 10 regions, including Tokyo, are under a state of emergency until near the end of this month. The country's vaccination rollout has also been slow, with only about 3% of the population inoculated. Japan's Asahi Shimbun newspaper also reported Thursday that Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga is likely to call a snap election after the games, showing his resolve to push ahead with the event.
The Denver Nuggets are headed to the NBA's Western Conference semifinals. The Nuggets booked their ticket to the next round after eliminating the Portland Trail Blazers with a 126-115 comeback win. Denver trailed by as much as 14 points, but came roaring back behind leading MVP contender Nikola Jokic. The Serbian center finished with 36 points and 8 rebounds. The Cannes Film Festival will finally push through next month after being canceled last year due to COVID-19. And as this report tells us, the lineup for this year's edition includes the latest movies from Wes Anderson and Sean Penn.
The Cannes Film Festival returns this year, and some of Hollywood's best-known names will be on the French Riviera to celebrate. The world's biggest film festival returns after it was canceled in 2020 and delayed until July of this year. But Cannes president Pierre Lescure did say Thursday that attendees will face more restrictions than usual.
Everyone is attentive, with the desire to get the pleasure from cinemas, while showing that this first global cultural event that's taking place post-pandemic will have no, or at least only minimum, but I do hope there is none, negative consequences.
Festival director Thierry Frémieux also said there would be parties and dinners, but one regular feature of the festival would probably be missing from the red carpet.
We have a habit of kissing each other on the steps. So, well, we won't kiss anymore, but our heart will be present just as much.
The 74th edition will see Wes Anderson compete for Cannes' top Palme d'Or prize with The French Dispatch. It's a movie about a fictional US newspaper office in France and packed full of star names, like Francis Dormond, Bill Murray and Timothy Chalamet. Flag Day, a drama directed by Sean Penn, is also among the 24 films competing for the Palme d'Or. There's also an honorary Palme d'Or for Oscar winner Jodie Foster.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks for keeping us company the whole week this week. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.